Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
I knew it. I'm looking for it. I knew it, but I can't find it. We only have like 10,000 things here. You know what I'm looking for, Big Sexy, right? I mean, I can't find it. I'm an idiot. Hi, Al. How you doing, pal? I'll find it.
I'm good.
I'll find it
looking
eventually.
For, your question about the punt return.
That's right, Adam Alfred. Jones. Hey, I found it. Here it is.
Why did you have River return the punt instead of Pac-Man on that last punt?
River? He's really sure-handed. As simple as that. I mean, he was a sure-handed guy, and with our great team, when it's backed up like that, we put River in or whoever else is our most sure-handed returner, and he's
Pac-Man in that particular situation.
You know, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it was the best call for our team. He's really sure-handed.
It's always tough when you get asked a question about something you know you're about to do, and you can't really be honest about it. So, and it's not actually official yet, I don't think. It's just that Pac-Man Jones put out on Instagram, you know, see you, Denver. It's been nice. What are you doing? You're eating Thanksgiving? What is that out there?
Yes.
You're kidding me. We got Thanksgiving meals here?
On a Tuesday.
Oh, how's the shame game, by the way? Have you done that yet?
No.
All right. Anyways, Pac-Man. Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah. You win, you lose. We lose more than we win.
We haven't won this year.
I know. It's been disappointing. We'll try my strategy this time.
No, we won't.
You know what my strategy is? Not listening to you. No, Pac-Man Jones put out on Instagram that he was out of here and it's been nice, Denver, and... I found out Pac-Man is he thinks he can play for another 2 or 3 years. But he was averaging like 1 yard a punt. He was being taken out in certain situations or not playing all that much. And then to add insult to injury, they trusted River Craycraft to catch a punt. And clearly they just wanted whoever was returning a punt to just catch it. Like, we do not want you to take a risk. We don't want something heroic. We're going to give this our best shot to with Case Keenum and, you know, whatever. So for whatever reason, they didn't trust Pac-Man Jones anymore. I thought I noticed something kind of interesting in the beginning of the game.
Or they just needed Quanjo.
No. They put Max Garcia on injured reserve. They've got another spot open now, too. They did not need to make room for that. They didn't. They literally didn't.
So when they put Max Garcia on injured reserve, that was today, right?
Yeah.
So they needed to bring somebody up. So
they have two open spots now.
That's two now.
Yeah.
Two. One now with Quanjo signing.
Right. But Pac-Man was not released to sign Quanjo.
They may look for more offensive line help.
He was released because he's not needed anymore. He wasn't needed in the first place. It was a terrible signing in the first place. You could see that a mile away. You seemed to like it. Other people seemed to like it. I said that it was ridiculous for a million different reasons. I said just for pure football reasons, it didn't make sense. And for pure football reasons, it didn't make sense. And early in the game, he caught like a kick, took a touchback, and then he took the ball and kind of like threw it through the back of the end zone. And it's just like, he's just, I don't know, man. There's something going on. To me, that expression was, I'm frustrated that I'm not getting any chances here, and here I am back for a kickoff, and I got to take a stupid, you know, knee, and they don't even trust me to, like, return the ball. When he threw the football like that, body language-wise, it said a lot to me. It said, you know, I'm frustrated with whatever role that I have here. And sure enough, there it is, the most important part of the game. And there's River Craycraft, Al.
Probably got into it with the special team coach on the sideline.
I would guess there's something like that, right? And they just did not trust him in that situation. And then VJ, it's another one where I feel a little bad for VJ, even though I asked him the question, because what's he supposed to say? Yeah. Hey, D-Mac, good pickup. I think we're going to release him tomorrow. Check out his Instagram. Now, Tuesdays, we know what Tuesdays are, too, in the NFL. Tuesdays are moving day, tryout day, right?
Like, yep, this is traditionally the day where you get to actually see guys working out, but they bring in guys all week long. But sometimes
you're
in meetings,
the big day.
Sometimes you're, just coming, they're coming off the field while you're coming onto the field. But yeah, Tuesday is when it's just, it doesn't matter. We're bringing guys in, and they do it every week.
Every week.
Every single week.
VJ even said yesterday in the press conference they're bringing five guys in at offensive line to check out. Well, I mean, it's not just that. It's whatever position they have some concerns with. They may bring in different quarterbacks to see if we want somebody on practice squad rather than Garrett Grayson. You know, and things like that happen every week. So we'll see. Keep your eyes open. Maybe they brought in a cornerback that they trust more than Pac-Man Jones. Because if he's not needed on punt return, they really think River Craycraft has more reliable hands. I don't think it's that, because I think, if anything, Pac-Man Jones, Al, is great catching punts, right? It's the one thing we said he does the best. He has, like, one fumble in his career or something returning punts.
And I think that Tremaine Brock has been more healthy and playing more spirited football here of late.
Oh, by the way, Sua Cravens was more or less benched in the second half.
Yeah.
So
he didn't have a good game against Antonio Gates.
There's something going on
there. I thought
there,
the matchup was with Melvin Gordon, but that didn't prove true. I guess they just kept Josie Jewell on Melvin Gordon the whole time.
Well, Vance Joseph yesterday said it was embarrassing how they played third downs. I mean, the Chargers were 8-for. Think about this. 8-for-8 on third down before that Von Miller interception. Von, I mean, gold star, huge play. Just an absolute game changer. The Chargers go down and score on that possession, Al. The Broncos down 3 scores. I don't know. Probably over, right? Just a gargantuan moment. It's always great when your best player makes huge plays, right? Like, it's just so awesome when that happens.
When the team needs it.
Just huge. Huge, huge, huge play.
Make the big play when the team needs it.
Yeah.
Not just, don't do it on
right.
Second and 10 in the first quarter.
Right. Smart football play, great composure. You see guys drop the ball all the time. Vaughn came close to maybe coughing it up a little bit, but he didn't. He played great. It was awesome to see. And you knew something was up with Pac-Man. Now he puts it out on Instagram, and we'll keep our eyes open for something official from the Broncos. I mean, Big Sexy, we haven't seen anything official, right?
Right.
We'll keep our eyes open. It may happen while we're on the air here. Okay. Anywho, that's the new. Oh, Cyrus Kwanja was signed, like you said. You like that? You like Kwanja?
Love him. Love the guy in training camp.
Yeah.
And I liked Eliza Wilkerson as well.
Well, I don't think that's changing.
I know. I'm just saying. But I liked both of the young tackles. And, of course, I love Billy Turner. And offensive line looked great last weekend.
Yeah,
we had 4 tackles in the game. And now we have 6 tackles on the roster.
Yeah, but, listening to Orlando, he thinks Wilkinson's actually really a guard, not a tackle. And I know he hasn't played a whole lot of guard, but it was interesting to hear Orlando's take on that. And I was lucky enough to chit-chat with Wilkinson at the Shane Ray thing, the charity thing last week. Great guy, first of all. And his dad and brother have called this show many times. But when I was looking at him, I was like, he looks more like a tall guard, but still, he's got kind of that guard sort of stout body rather than that tackle kind of leaner, longer sort of thing. I think he's going to be great. I think the Broncos, Al, may have stumbled into perhaps the future with Turner, McGovern, and Wilkinson. Wouldn't that be great if that was the case?
I think that's
what happens?
I really think it is. And
I'm not wishing bad on Matt Paradis, but we saw what happened with J.D. Walton when he played a ton, got a lower body injury, and just He just was never the same.
I'm just telling you, Conor McGovern moving people.
Well, what are you going to do with Matt Paradis? Are you going to extend him some sort of big free agent contract, or are you going to move on?
I think that, you know, I've been waiting for this move for quite some time to McGovern at center, and I think Paradis did the smart thing last year about not playing around and taking that, you know, whatever the Broncos restricted deal was, he signed it immediately. Like, we're not going to play this game about I'm holding out or anything like that. He took the deal, signed it, and played solid. But Conor McGovern is a different guy at center than he is at guard. Stronger, more pop in the middle of that offense with McGovern.
Yeah, and again, Matt Paradis is a warrior. He's a Super Bowl champion. He already may be a Ring of Famer with the Denver Broncos based on his contributions.
Wait a minute now. Slow down.
Well, how many years has Paradis been here?
I think this is his fourth year, D-Mac.
Fourth year playing. It's been pretty good, Al. Maybe not. Okay, fine, if you're laughing at that.
No, I'm just saying, you're putting him in the same category as a Tommy Nayland?
No.
Well, that's what a Ring of Famer is. What are you asking for?
There's degrees underneath Tom Nayland to be a Ring of Famer.
But they pretty much have to be close to that.
John Lynch was here for 4 years. He's pretty much
in the same class as Steve Atwater and Billy Turner and all the other and Dennis Smith. I mean, the line of great safeties continue with John Lynch.
I think there's going to be quite a few guys from that Super Bowl 2015 team that go in the Ring of Fame. As there should be. So if you're on that team, you're in the conversation. Matt Paradis didn't miss a game for three straight years.
Oh.
All right, fine. Listen, okay, fine. Ed McCaffrey's not in there, so perhaps you're making a good argument there.
I mean, you're putting him in the same category as Tommy Nayland.
I'm not. Tom Nayland's in the Hall of Fame category.
He's not in the Hall of Fame.
He is. He's not in the Hall of Fame, but he's in the Hall of Fame category. He's on the ballot every year.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Matt Paradis will never be on the Hall of Fame ballot. He's not in the same class as Tom Nayland.
It should be, if you're not a Hall of Famer, just a step under.
Okay. All right. I'd put almost everybody in the Ring of Fame. I have no idea why we don't have Ed McCaffrey in there right now. I think you should be in the Ring of Fame.
If I didn't have injuries, maybe would have had a different conversation.
Four pretty good years.
You know, I had three, but I had injuries. And year number four, those things derail careers and it changes the whole scope of engagement with the team.
You don't think you should be in the Ring of Fame?
You know what? If it happens, it'd be great, D-Mac. But
you think John Lynch is more deserving than you?
I think John Lynch had a solid 4 years here.
Better than you?
I won two Super Bowls.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. Bop, bing, boom. It's a Big Al, baby. I'm not sure what's going on with Eddie Mac.
I don't know why
Ed's
not in.
There's got to be something behind the scenes on that one.
I don't know why Ed's not in.
Well, that one's curious.
Ed was a standard setter.
What'd you think of that game last night?
I got a phone call from my buddy Philip Scott this morning. He said, "Hey, Alfred, you know, just want to let you know there was a touchdown scored every 4 minutes in that game." And I was like, "Yeah, good for television.
14 touchdowns.
Great, great for viewers at home. Terrible for guys who play defense or have played defense."
Is that what you were thinking?
You know what? If they go up and down the field and we don't let them score, I'm okay. The Broncos game plan against the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Starting to look a little better, huh?
It was always looking good. We had a chance to win at the end of both of those games.
Yeah. Against,
well, we had three games, and we had a chance to win all three of those games.
Sure did.
Two against the Chiefs, one against the Rams.
Yep. Should have won the first game against the Chiefs. I bet Case Keenum makes that play today.
Talking about the little sideline route to DT.
Yeah.
Maybe the guy who he's throwing it to will make the play.
Whew. Maybe Cortland Sutton makes that play.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Extra juice.
Mm-hmm.
More athletic.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he goes up for it. Actually jumps up in the air for it. Listen, I thought it was overthrown, but I agree with people, you don't jump for that. You don't kind of go for it. I mean, I'm with you on that. I was completely, totally entertained by last night. And my wife, that was one of the first times me and my wife just sat there and watched a football game together. Because usually she's just kind of buzzing around, doing stuff around the house. She loves football. She watches football all the time. But, you know, just to sit there and just sort of watch it, you know, she's not really down with that. It's kind of boring sometimes. Last night, we just sat there, and it was unbelievable. You couldn't turn away.
4 minutes ago in the game, I told my son, I said, there are going to be three touchdown scoring opportunities left in this game.
Yeah.
And there was. Two touchdowns, and the Chiefs had the ball again on the last drive.
First time in NFL history a team scored more than 50 points and lost. Mahomes just, I mean, just amazing. The three interceptions, well, at the end of the game, you're just throwing it up there. What are you supposed to do with that? You're just trying. The other one, you got hit. The other one was kind of a wacky play as well. But he looked great. Jared Goff looked great.
By the way, Dante Fowler, what a huge game. And it was talked about before the game, and something that is very rarely seen. I'm trying to think if it happened. Nope, we had three. When I was playing for Cincinnati, we had three first-rounders playing on the defensive line. We did have four. We had James Francis, myself, Big Daddy Dan Wilkerson, and John Copeland. We had four first-rounders playing on the defensive line. Last night, the Rams had four first-rounders playing on the defensive line. Dante Fowler and Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, and why am I drawing a blank? I want to say Kevin Carter, but I know he's way been gone. But they had four. I'm missing one. But they had four first rounders playing on. No, they had four first rounders playing on the defensive line at one time. It was beautiful to see. Like, this is where your money goes.
Yeah, if it wasn't for those four first-rounders, they may have given up 61 points, not 51 points.
Aaron Donald is on some brand-new stuff right now.
Is your comment seriously about the defensive effort in last night's game? Really?
Oh, the pass rush was unbelievable.
Seriously?
The pass rush was unbelievable.
Come on, man.
Secondary for both teams.
Come on, brother.
Leaves something to be desired.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But the D-lines? I mean, come on, man.
Dude, they gave up 51 and 54 points.
That has nothing to do with the talent that we were talking about on both of those defensive lines.
Well, if they're so good.
Both of those defensive lines terrorized us here with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But we don't have an offense. We don't have quarterbacks like Mahomes and Goff. We don't have weapons like that. Those two are something else. And it's on notice to the rest of the NFL. Now what are you going to do?
Well, you know, last year...
Every GM had to look in the mirror and said, now what am I going to do?
Last year, I made a bold statement. And I said that the way of the NFL is RPO. Before the Eagles went out and won the Super Bowl. Said because of the issues that it brings and it makes defensive backs play in space one-on-one with receivers. I mean, it is like the ultimate, it's the ultimate in one-on-one football. And last night, both teams used principles from the RPO game. And it isolated guys one-on-one like Tariq Hill on anybody or Robert Woods who had a solid game. It's just these isolation plays in space are terrible if the guy makes somebody miss. And last night we saw on a deep pass on a post route to Tyreek Hill that made you throw your hands up in the air because there's no defense for it. If you're going to play man-to-man or man-free, if the guy starts in the slot and goes right across your face, you can't do anything about it. He's that fast. You have to start guessing about where he's going, but if he double moves you, you're out of position. Incredible. He is by far the most unique wide receiver I have ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, he's really good.
I've seen Megatron go up and take the ball from people. You know, I've seen Jerry Rice with his sure hands. But I've never seen in my life a guy who can just run away from the defense almost every single time and make those explosive fast plays. Now, Antonio Brown is a special kind of scary at wide receiver. But Tyreek Hill, not only as a receiver, he's not a small guy. Not only as a receiver, but as a runner, man, he is unbelievable in that punt returner. What we're seeing there right now is just a glimpse of greatness. And, it's fun to watch. I wish it was with us. But that kind of explosive play is ridiculous. You don't come across those kind of guys. I mean, those kind of guys, you know, maybe they're playing soccer. Maybe those guys are playing in the NBA. You don't get those kind of guys playing football. Maybe those guys are track athletes. You don't get Tyreek Hills around this neck of the woods in football. It's crazy. Crazy speed. I don't care who you're talking about in whose prime. I don't care if it's Champ or Darren. You got Prime Time or you got Woodson. Whoever you think about, all your Daryl Green, whoever you're thinking about as the fastest guy, this guy is so sudden. He just makes you he freezes you and he exposes everything that's weak about your game, and that's just exciting, man. We need a guy like that.
Did you like the game last night?
Ugh, love the game, but I'm telling you, there's some pieces of that game last night that I just on both sides, D-Mac. Once again, if you say that Patrick Mahomes is the offensive MVP for the NFL, you can very easily say that Dee Ford is in a conversation for the defense. If you say that Todd Gurley or Jared Goff is in the conversation for offensive MVP, certainly you can say Aaron Donald is in the conversation for defensive MVP.
You know, I love you because in a game that was 51-54, you're probably the only sports talk host in America pointing out defense.
Change the game. Change the game. I mean, you had two. I heard two defensive touchdowns last night. When was the last time you saw that in a football game?
There was somebody, and I forget who it was, but there was somebody on the Chiefs who goes, "Hey, that wasn't
Justin Houston.
That wasn't Mahomes' fault." I was like, "No kidding."
But you know, the Chiefs.
Thanks for the breakdown there.
The Chiefs'
Einstein.
Defense got a scoring touchdown.
Yeah.
There were three defensive touchdowns scored last night.
I'm telling you, one.
Just talking about overall.
This is why I'm telling you why the game was so amazing. Is because they struck and both teams struck and both teams' defense came up with a minus play for the other team that was a scoring play. Fowler had an interception for a touchdown.
All right. Okay. All right.
I mean,
there's another side of the coin. I appreciate you pointing that out.
I'm just saying, it just happened. I mean, it was beautiful, man.
I'm glad Houston clarified it wasn't Patrick Mahomes' fault.
It was beautiful.
I loved it. I've heard some people criticize it like, it's watching Big 12 football. The caller wants to call it arena football. It was entertaining as hell.
All I'm saying is
it was awesome to watch.
It'd be nice for us to play like that.
Yeah, and that's why the Chiefs and Rams, along with the Saints, are the three best teams in the NFL. The fourth best team, after watching the past three games, I think the Steelers are the fourth best team in the NFL. But I think there's a way the Broncos can get them. I don't think I think they're really good. Like the Chargers, Al. Chargers, hey, it would not surprise me at all if the Chargers don't even make the playoffs. Would not surprise me at all.
It would surprise me.
If the Chargers gag it away. The Steelers? That's a different topic of conversation. But I think the Broncos are facing them at the right time. We'll get to it, plus some bizarre stories out there. One of the dumber things of all sports has happened in Colorado Springs. Details in the Big Three coming up.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone loan number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
Okay, I asked VJ this question yesterday.
Did you have River return the punt instead of Pac-Man on that last punt?
River? He's really short-handed. As simple as that. I mean, he was a short-handed guy, and without a great team, when it's backed up like that, we put River in or whoever else is our most sure-handed returner, and he's
Pac-Man in that particular situation.
You know, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it was the best call for our team. He's really sure-handed.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pac-Man put it out on Instagram today that he is toast. He's leaving, and thanks to Denver for all the great memories. Alfred Pac-Man Jones announcing, I guess, that he's no longer a member of the Denver Broncos. What's your reaction?
My reaction is that it didn't work out. As much as we all wanted it to work out around here as a punt returner and a corner, maybe the hamstring injuries that he injured around here early on in his tenure with the Broncos may have cost him some ground. But Bradley Roby stepped up last week. Tremaine Brock stepped up last week. And it limited the amount of exposure that the Broncos had to give to Pac-Man Jones. So he's out.
I didn't get it in the first place. This makes sense to me today. Bongos.
Three.
Tiger and Phil playing for $9 million. Are you at least a bit interested? Now, I'll tell you.
I am not.
If this was 15 years ago, oh, my goodness.
Right.
We would have had, you know, pay-per-view television status going through the roof.
Yeah, but it's like, why do I care if Phil makes $9 million or Tiger makes $9 million? Like, and it's not their money either. It's like, I don't even know why I care when Tiger's worth like $1 billion. And Phil, I'm pretty sure he's still one of the highest paid endorsers in the world, by the way, Phil Mickelson. So why should I care about this, Al? Because I don't, but why should I?
I you know what? I would say that
I don't care, actually. I need to see them play.
Are you going to watch it?
No. It's a pay-per-view event. Is it a pay-per-view event?
I think it is.
Well, I'm not paying for it. How am I going to get it for free?
You're going to watch it.
It's $20.
I'm not paying $20 to watch two guys in their 40s play golf.
Somebody's gonna pay for it.
I don't even know when it is. When is it?
It's going to be Friday.
Yeah, but that would assume I have friends.
You're right. You're not going to watch it.
Bongos.
Three!
Alfred, did you hear the story about the Colorado Springs Sky Sox? They've rebranded themselves, and now they're the Rocky Mountain Vibes. Their logo is a s'more. The alternate logo is a roasting marshmallow on a stick.
Hell yeah!
Now, Big Sexy. Now,
I think it's great.
Of course you think it's great. You have a collection of size 8 fitted food-based minor league baseball hats. This, you should be
right up my alley.
You should be the spokesperson.
I need every single one of these things.
You know, maybe I shouldn't be so harsh because I forgot it's A-level baseball, right? And in A-level baseball, which is basically 19, 20-year-old kids, you need it to be as fun as humanly possible to get people out there. So it's obviously going to be very, very kid-based and fun. So on the surface, it looks ridiculous. But if you're really doing something basically strictly for kids, I have a hard time arguing with it. I think it just sets a lot of people off because it looks so absurd. But kids are going to love it. It's
33-year-old radio producers are going to love it.
You're a unique guy. I'm telling you, you should work for the team. There should be some sort of role with you in the Rocky Mountain Vibe.
Should I be the marshmallow between the two graham crackers?
You would be a great mascot, you know, if you want to go real life. So I've flipped my opinion because on the surface it looked absolutely ridiculous. But I thought more about it being Class A baseball, which is a shorter season anyways, by the way. And I have no idea. Maybe you know why it's not AAA or AA. Why are they going
Class A? So the rumor mill churns, and I heard that the Brewers did not like the fact that the Colorado Springs Sky Sox, the AAA team, started so early in the year because their games at night would be 30, 40 degrees outside.
Right.
Also, I also heard that they wanted to get Texas League baseball in West Texas, so they moved the AAA affiliate down to San Antonio, which was the old AA affiliate of the Brewers. They moved the AA affiliate to Amarillo. Now they're the Amarillo Sod Poodles. And Helena, the Helena Brewers were the low A ball team, which moved here to Colorado Springs, and they no longer exist.
Well, like I said, it's usually for college age kids anyway.
Or Matt Holliday. Because they open up their season down in the Springs against the Grand Junction Rockies.
Okay, well, there you go. There you go. I mean, guys that are making their way back. Listen, I've been to that stadium many times. It's a terrific place to watch a baseball game. They have had a very bad incident with fireworks. I'm not even making fun of it. A guy like almost died setting off the fireworks. So as long as everything is safe down there and fun down there, then I wish them the best. Al, what do you think about the Rocky Mountain vibe?
Good luck to you.
All right. Bongos. But when are you getting the hat? When are you getting the hat?
They're actually getting shipments in here in the first weekend of, or first week of December.
Do they know about you?
Oh, I've already sent them an email. I sent the merch manager an email yesterday. I said, hey, this is great. I need to be a part of this.
All right. Alfred.
How many times would you like to see that matchup between Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff?
Because I'd take it one more time if the Broncos are in the playoffs.
Wouldn't you, D-Mac? I mean, wouldn't you take it one more time? I mean, it seems that that is the way that it should be.
I'd rather see that than the New Orleans Saints.
By the way, when Peyton Manning was here, we saw the Patriots five times. Five times.
Yeah, that was great.
Five times.
Yeah, but you can't ever see those guys in the Super Bowl, though.
You can't. That combination of quarterbacks can be seen in the Super Bowl.
By the way, you want to have a conversation about just reseeding? I'm all for it. Let's do it. Let's reseed so you could see. I think every single league should get rid of conferences and just put the best teams 1 through 16 or whatever it is in a playoff form bracket in every sport. I think that is the big change to sports that would revive and make sports better in general.
The only thing that could have made that matchup any better is that if both of those guys were in the same division and they had to play at least once against each other every year. But since they're in the AFC and the NFC, D-Mac, unfortunately, once every 4 years.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a great point. Going along with what I said, too, because if you just were to reseed, you may see that matchup in the playoffs every single year. Now, because they won't play each other but once every 4 years, right? And you wouldn't see them unless they were in the Super Bowl. You may not see that matchup again, theoretically, for another 4 years.
Right, right.
What a shame.
I know. And then, you know, the reason I was thinking about it is because as great as Tom Brady is, I think he's seen Aaron Rodgers three times. In a regular season.
There's because of technology, travel, it's just different. Why do we have an NFC and AFC in football? Anybody?
Tradition.
Yeah, but why? Like, it literally makes no sense now. You could still have all your division winners have some sort of advantage, right? And then you just reseed everybody based on tiebreakers, whatever those tiebreakers may be.
I'd like to see that matchup every year.
And then you still have the same amount of bye weeks for, say, the top four teams. Right? That all seems fair. And you go from there. Seems common sense to me, Bong.
Three!
All right, we have to do the shame game next. Is that right? We're supposed to? Okay.
Fine.
We'll get to it next.
Fine.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, we got to take care of some business here. How do you want to do this? What order do you want to do things here, Brian? We want to thank Ted's Montana Grill because it's a Ted's Tuesday every Tuesday. And they are outstanding on Thanksgiving.
Delicious.
If you are just wondering how the heck you're going to do Thanksgiving, I think all you have to do is go to Ted's Montana Grill. Right? And we thank them so much for feeding the crew. Everybody's got a plate of Thanksgiving right now, and it's awesome. Thank you, Ted's Montana Grill.
Hell yeah!
Next. There's a bunch of things I just got to do here. I'm trying. Oh, you want to do the shame game?
All right. Shame. Shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
By the way, no spectators when Tiger and Phil play against each other.
Don't try to distract us from the Shame game.
Oh, my goodness.
How's this working?
Shame.
So, we had a caller, the winner.
Yeah.
He recorded something earlier today. And
you know, I'm just going to turn my mic. I'm going to turn my mic off.
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
All right.
Why do I got to be part of this?
He just wants to eat to stay at Montana Grill.
Oh, that's okay. That's what's going on. All right. So, Alfred, this is what your shame game is all about. You ready?
Go ahead.
Hey, this is Trevor from Littleton. And hey, I won the King Supers fan football pick'em this week. And I get to shame Alfred Williams. All right. Big Al, repeat after me. It takes very little skill to put your hand in the dirt and run after the ball.
You need to hear it again?
It takes very little skill to put your hand in the dirt and run after the ball.
Is that good? Was that good, D?
Yeah, I'm laughing.
Okay, good. We got it. Go ahead and load that in the system.
Harold Hasselbeck famously told me years ago, the dumbest people on the football field were pass rushers. Now, he was being, I thought it was funny, because that's who he was. Would you agree with that assessment, Alfred?
No. I guess if you want to, I was a linebacker, so.
There you go. There you go.
You know, the checks that are necessary in football, I think that if you're not a bright guy and you're playing in the NFL, you will be exposed. There's no way around it.
I will agree with you. I've been,
I played with two teammates that couldn't read.
Oh, dear.
And they were really good football players.
They couldn't read?
Could not read.
Come on. Really?
True story.
How'd they get to college?
How did they graduate college?
Did they graduate?
They did.
What colleges?
Can't tell you that.
Is it like something you put in a degree in the mail or something?
I'm not going to expound over it. I just was
Hope International
surprised.
From Barbados? Yeah, I'd be surprised if a guy can't read. I mean, Dexter Manley is a famous story, obviously, but... All right. Good job on the shame game. You just got through it. $250 King Supers could be yours. You got a chance to shame the losing host. And a grand prize of groceries for a year from King Supers. Zach, the Zoakley Show won again? Oh, my God.
We almost won if things would have worked out in the last,
we didn't even get
quarter of like three games, D-Mac.
At least we didn't lose last night. What a great game. What a great game last night. What a great game. So entertaining.
Such great play callers. Such great players. Quarterbacks who knew where to go with the football. And no, it was not perfect. But it was entertaining. And when you score a touchdown every 4 minutes, you're going to get the attention of the national audience.
Yeah.
I bet you that was the highest watched game as far as ratings go in ESPN's history.
It was the highest Monday night game this year. I know it paled in comparison to Sunday night football. Because still, the entire nation does not have ESPN like they just have broadcast TV.
True,
So ultimately, a game on NBC on Sunday Night Football will get higher ratings than the game we saw last night. And it's got nothing to do with the competitiveness of the game. It just has to do with how many households in America don't have ESPN as part of their packages. You'd be shocked how many, well, maybe you wouldn't be shocked, but people may be shocked about how many cable packages don't have ESPN. But that is the case.
11.3, the highest overnight rating for Monday Night Football since 2014.
Yeah, but I thought it was going to be bigger.
57% better than the Monday Night game the week 11 last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great Monday night game. Don't get me wrong. I just saw that the numbers compared to Sunday Night Football just were,
two teams scored over 50 points in one game.
It was awesome.
And it was close the entire time.
Yeah, it was. There were back and forth. There were lead changes. It
wasn't. D-Mac, I am here to tell you that's the future of football.
Bring it on.
I don't care.
Love it.
I don't care if the defensive guys don't like it and feel like there was no defense being played. That is what I want to see.
Well, I love it. We agree.
I've been saying that. I've been saying that for at least 2 or 3 years.
Bring it on.
That's the world where these college quarterbacks have played. Why do we try to put them in systems that they didn't play in?
Who knows? Because that's all the coaches know, because we just hire the old guard. And even though Andy Reid's a little bit older, he thinks
like
an
old guard.
Gary Kubiak.
Why'd you call him a guard?
It's an expression. It's right up there with Milk Toast.
Old guard?
You've never heard that expression before? Right, never mind. It's the old regime. It's the old way of thinking.
Okay.
It's the more traditional way of thinking.
I have heard of that one. I did not hear. I still have struggled with the Milk Toast.
You know, when we come back, I'd love to talk to you a little bit about the Steelers, because I spent all sorts of time watching them. Talk about old school. Steelers are offensively, now they can be explosive, no doubt about it, but they are so old school with the way they do things. And one of the worst, it was so funny watching that game last night. And then today I watched the Jaguars-Steelers game.
They didn't have the ball against the Jags.
That had to be one of the worst football games I've ever seen until the last 5 minutes, which was interesting. But overall, it was just so boring. But if the Broncos want to beat the Steelers, they need to play the Steelers like the Jaguars played the Steelers. And if they can do that, Al, they can win. Football at 4 is next.